Brother Danny. If you would, take your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12, and we'll begin reading here in just a minute, verse 1 through 25. If you'll notice in your bulletin, you did receive a flyer, a little third of a page here. It says, Pastor's Prayer Requests. How many of you this week have received an email or text notification with these requests in it? If you want to raise your hand nice and high, good. That's wonderful. I hope you're praying for these things. These are things that are near and dear to our pastor's heart, and he's been emphasizing prayer and how it's so important to pray individually, but collectively as a church body as well. So please join our pastor in praying for these specific needs. And by the way, if you are not receiving those notifications, whether it's email or text message, please contact the church office. We'll get your information. That way you can receive those things and stay up to date. But as much as pastor's been emphasizing prayer, like Brother Gary mentioned, pastor's on vacation right now. I wanted to have a special time for him. I've asked Brother Marty Scroggs to come. Let's take just a few minutes before we get into the preaching, and let's pray specifically for pastor and his family. And by the way, I hope you're praying for them every day, all throughout the day, that God would give them wisdom, that God would direct him as far as our church is concerned. Appreciate Brother Scroggs, and Brother Marty's going to come and pray specifically for our pastor. Let's join together and pray for him together right now. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to be here. We thank you that you're a God that hears and answers prayer. Especially right now, Lord, we want to bring our pastor to you and lift him up. Father, we ask that you give him great wisdom, give him great understanding. Lord, there's so much that he's studying and preparing for. Lord, we pray that you'll just fill him with your spirit. Help him, Lord, to understand what you would have for us to hear. Lord, we ask that you continue to keep your hand of blessing upon him and his ministry. Pray, Lord, that you'll use him to speak to us, speak to me, Lord. Give us what we need through him, Father. Lord, we just you've put him in this position to lead us. Pray, Lord, that you'll just help him in that process. Father, we ask that you bless his family. Lord, in this time that they're away of resting, pray, Lord, you'll give them great rest. Pray, Lord, you'll recharge them, help them, Lord, in this time of rest and relaxation. May it be a peaceful time for him, Lord. Lord, I ask that you keep a hedge of protection about him and his family. Lord, he'll come under so many attacks from so many different angles and different things. Lord, please protect him. Help him, Lord, as he's the leader of our church. And Father, I ask that you help us as church members to be as the ones in the Bible held up Moses' arms. Help us to hold up his arms, Lord, as you give pastor vision for our church. Help us to be submissive. Help us to follow his leadership. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to do our part in following him. Help us to do what you would have us to do as you show him. Father, thank you for him. Help him. Bless him in a special, special way. Thank you again for our pastor. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Scroggs. Again, should be in 1 Samuel chapter 12. We'll get there in just a minute. With that said, with this this topic of prayer, that's not specifically what I'm preaching on this morning, but something that I've tried to do. I am a very forgetful person. How many of you are like me or a forgetful person? Okay. How many of you have a smartphone? How many of you often rely on that smartphone to remind you of things throughout the day? The Lord laid on my heart a couple years ago to set up some prayer reminders on my phone. And I'd encourage you to do this as a church family. If you've got a smartphone, set different times throughout the day to where, okay, this particular time I'm going to be here, I'm going to pray for this specific thing. Something I'd encourage you to do, first thing in the morning, set up a prayer reminder to pray for pastor. 7 o'clock in the morning, reminder pops up on my phone, pray for pastor and his family. And this would help all of us tremendously. And again, God's given us technology. Let's use it to honor and glorify him and to pray for our church and our church family. Okay, just a little sermonette on the side there for you. 1 Samuel chapter 12, we'll get here in just a minute. And so grateful for the opportunity to preach today. And the Lord laid this message on my heart a couple weeks ago in men's prayer meeting. Pastor was sharing some life verses of some great men of God who have had an influence on his life. And Dr. Keith Kaiser taught at Crown College and had a huge impact on our pastor's life. And his life verse comes from the 24th verse of this particular chapter. We'll get there in just a minute as we'll read through the whole chapter. But so thankful for how God has used this chapter to speak to my heart over the last couple weeks. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. of 1 Samuel chapter number 12. The Bible says, "And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice, and all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you." And they said, "Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand." And he said unto them, "The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness against this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand." And they answered, "He is witness." Verse number 6, "And Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgat the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and unto the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them." Verse 10, "And they cried unto the Lord and said, We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth, but now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelled safe. And when ye saw that Nahash, the king of children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen, whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord hath set a king over you." Verse 14, "If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. It is not wheat harvest. Is it not wheat harvest? I will call again the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king." So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, "Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask a king." And Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." Verse 21. "And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way." Verse 24, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king." I'd like to draw your attention to several truths within this chapter. 8 points within this chapter that the Lord has drawn out to my attention, specifically in verse 24. Think about this thought. "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you." Let's pray. Father, as we come to you again, Lord, so thankful that we can call you our Father. And God, if there's anyone here today who cannot truly call you their Father, help them to accept Jesus Christ today before it's eternally too late. Lord, speak to our hearts through your word. Help us to leave here changed, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As far as introductions concerned, you know, we look all throughout the Bible and see a number of different people. We see a number of different men and women who are godly servants, who are faithful servants of the Lord, and a lot of them we don't know a whole lot about. A lot of them we might have a question as far as their upbringing, how they were as a child, how they were as a teenager, but Samuel is definitely an exception to this. We know a lot about Samuel from his birth, even before his birth. We understand the fact that Hannah, Samuel's mother, was fervently praying for a son, and God gave her that son. And Samuel, all throughout his life, there's no question about his testimony. There's no question about who he served. There's no question about things that he had done wrong, because as far as we can tell, there wasn't much that he had done wrong. He had faithfully served God. He was known as God's servant. Samuel showed that those whom God finds faithful in small things will be trusted with greater things. Samuel had to take on a lot of different roles all throughout his life, throughout his ministry. He was a judge, he was a priest, he was a prophet, he was a counselor, and he was God's man at a turning point, at a pivotal point in Israel's history. God worked through Samuel because Samuel was willing to be one thing, God's servant. And honestly, folks, if we don't get anything else from the sermon this morning, if we can simply take this thought, God, help me to be your servant. God, help me to simply be a tool in your hand. Help me to be submissive to your will. Things will be a whole lot different in our life. And this is something that we try to emphasize often with our teenagers. Listen, this life is not about me. It's not about us. It's about God and what we do for him. It's about submitting ourselves to him and saying, God, I'm nothing without you. Show me your will for my life and help me to walk every step in it. We should pattern our lives after Samuel. We should have a desire to be a servant. By the way, that's not a position that's often in the spotlight. That's not a position that's often in the headlines. It's a position of humility. And our ultimate example of servanthood is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. May we take these examples and have a desire to pattern our lives after Samuel. Point number one, and my apologies, these points are a little long as far as the actual point itself, so if you're taking notes, my apologies for that. But point number one, Samuel spoke to the Israelites and made sure that he was thoroughly right with his fellow man. We see this in verses 1 through 3. Samuel had a desire to, as he was serving God, he had a desire to make sure he was right, not only with God, but with his fellow man as well. And by the way, if this relationship is not right, this relationship can never be right. Folks, if your relationship is not right with God, you cannot have the right relationship with your spouse. If your relationship is not right with God, you cannot have the right relationship with your siblings and coworkers, and on we could go. Samuel knew this was important. This was the most important, but this was very important as well. And he made it a point to make sure, as he's standing up as an older man at this point in his life, to make sure that his testimony has no flaws in it. The Bible says that he was old and gray-headed. He wanted to make sure that not only he was right with God, but also right with God's people. Samuel saw the importance of guarding his testimony. My youth pastor, so thankful for Doug Krause, my youth pastor. I hope you'll pray for him. He just recently had surgery on his shoulder. One of three cases in the whole of the United States to where he had a shoulder replacement surgery, and he broke the hardware in his shoulder. Okay, pray for him. He's got spine surgery coming up soon. If there's anything medically that could happen, I think Doug Krause has faced most of those medical setbacks. Okay, but my youth pastor used to say all the time, it takes a lifetime to build a testimony, but 1 second to destroy it. 1 second. That second could be a misspoken word. That 1 second simply could be a misunderstanding. That 1 second could be a deed that was done in an inappropriate way. Whatever the case is, our testimonies are important. We must guard them, and we must understand that 1 second could, boom, destroy it. So important. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is so important to guard our testimony. Samuel knew the importance of it. And he shows us the importance of it here in verses 1 through 3. He stands up before the people and asks them, hey, if there's anything I have done wrong against you, please tell me. Before we get there, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 says this, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That word circumspectly, what does it mean? Sounds like an English word. Walk circumspectly. It means be careful. Does that mean as I'm walking, okay, circumspect steps here? No, not talking about physically, but every aspect of our lives, we should be careful. There's certain things that a Christian should not do. There's certain things that a Christian should do. Certain places we should not go. Certain words we should not use. Even though they may not be bad things. Because my Bible says, abstain from all, what? Appearances of evil. So there might be a word that, oh, it's okay in our society, but a Christian ought not use it because it could give the wrong impression. It could be an appearance of evil. There's, again, places that we should not go because of our testimony being at stake. More important than us is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell our teenagers often if we're on an activity, whether we're on a ski slope or out door to door, listen, understand this, you're representing our church. But more importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful. Teenagers, walk circumspectly. Be careful what you say. When you're walking up to someone's house, getting ready to knock on their door, to invite them to our church, to give them information to, so they can know for sure that heaven is their home. Be careful what you say about their home. Yes, the lawn might not be as manicured as yours is at home. You don't need to say anything about it. Because that moment could be a stumbling block. Somebody hears you saying, oh, they haven't mowed their yard in 4 weeks. That could keep them from coming to church. That could keep them from coming to know Christ, okay? Even though, is that a bad thing, talking about someone's lawn? Not necessarily, but that could be an appearance. That could be a stumbling block in someone's life. Samuel saw this and he realized, hey, as he's standing before the children of Israel, saying, hey, have I taken anyone's ox? Have I done anything to defraud any of you? Have I? If I've done anything wrong, please tell me, because I want to get it right. Folks, we need more people like that. We need more people like Samuel who are going to stand up and say, hey, you know, I'm sorry. If I have said something that has made you upset, if I have done something that has hurt our relationship between us two Christians, I want to get it right. And he realized this not for himself, but for God's sake, for the name of his Creator's sake. He wanted to make sure things were right. Again, it takes a lifetime to build a testimony. 1 second can destroy it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That term keep, I can't help but think of a goalie, a goalkeeper. We had a youth activity yesterday. We went to an indoor soccer complex in Unicoi, and man, I am sore. I am not a teenager anymore. Now, in my mind, when I'm on the field, I think I am. But 2 days later, wow, somebody give me a wheelchair or something, okay? We're playing soccer and stuff indoors, and a goalkeeper, their duty is to keep everything out of that goal. Whether it's soccer, whether it's hockey, whatever the case is, their goal is to keep everything out, to keep that ball out, to keep that hockey puck out, whatever the case is, they're going to keep it. They're going to guard it as much as they possibly can. And the verse here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, gives that same thought. Keep thy heart. Samuel realized the importance of that. He said, hey, I'm not letting that in here. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to do that because that is going to hinder what God is doing. Folks, let's keep our heart with all diligence. That's not an easy thing. That's work. That's a never-ending task the rest of our lives, to keep our heart, to guard our heart, to safeguard what God has given us. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart, Christian. Guard your testimony. Samuel wanted to make sure that there was absolutely nothing in his life that he had done that would hinder his testimony. Was this a prideful mindset? Not at all. Samuel was more concerned about the work of God than he was about his own namesake. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I should be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Like Samuel and Paul and many other great men and women all throughout the Word of God, we must do our best to magnify Christ in all that we do and say. You know, oftentimes people live lives of bitterness because they've allowed something to come into their life. They've allowed something to get past themselves as the keeper of their heart, and they've allowed something to corrupt their lives, and often that bitterness continues to grow into a much larger root until it's something that's honestly just unbearable. Don't allow that root of bitterness to come into your life. Don't allow Satan to get the victory in your life by holding a grudge. There's not much that Satan wants more than for Christians to be arguing and complaining against one another. Samuel made sure, hey, we good? Everything okay? If there's anything I've done, please tell me. And they said, no, we're good. Yeah. knuckles, something like that, okay? We must be concerned about our personal testimony. We must always keep things right between us and God. Samuel made sure that he was right with God and right with mankind as well. Point number two, the response from the Israelites. We see this in verses 4 through 5. You know, it's one thing to be self-proclaimed in a matter. It's one thing to be to say, oh, I'm the greatest basketball player that's ever lived, okay? You can say that, but if other people don't say that about you, doesn't really hold much water, okay? Samuel had a powerful testimony. Not only in his mind, he knew that he was right with God, but others knew he was right with God as well. The Israelites reflected on the life of Samuel, and their spoken words pointed to the fact that he was truly living a righteous and holy life. He lived a life that was separated from worldliness and separated unto godliness. And by the way, both must be present. And sometimes people say, well, I'm not going to be like the world. I want to be like God. They say, I'm going to read my Bible and things like this. Both go hand in hand. We must be separated from the world and unto God. And continually clinging closer to God the rest of our lives. Samuel knew this was important. You know, just imagine we were to take a survey about each and every one of our lives. Just imagine we were to take 50 people who you are closest to in your life. By the way, these might not be your best friends. It might be the person who works in a cubicle next to you, who hears your conversations. It might be the person on your ball team who maybe you're not a big fan of. It might be your boss. It might be your spouse. It might be a number of different people. But just imagine we were to take a poll, take a survey with 50 people closest to you. Would you pass the test? I'll be honest. I guarantee there's people in my life, especially when I was in high school, that probably would say, oh, wow. There might have been some question marks in their mind. If your name is mentioned in the same sentence as being a Christian, would that raise a question mark in somebody's mind? Or an exclamation point? Hopefully, we're living lives of exclamation points where people know that we are a follower of Christ. And by the way, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, like Brother Gary was saying earlier, please come at the invitation. We would love to show you from the Bible how you can be saved and know for sure that heaven is your home. And know for sure that that old account of sin in your life has been settled by the washing of Jesus Christ's blood to cleanse you from your sins. But think about this, Christian, what are we doing? So many times we're so concerned with things that are going on in this world, but we're not concerned about eternity. We're not concerned about the name of Jesus Christ and the testimony that we have to represent for him. Let's do our part to make sure we're doing the right thing. Samuel had a powerful testimony. The words of the people testified to the fact that Samuel lived a life that was pleasing to God. This brings us to point number three. Samuel reminds the people of God's goodness and blessings. We see in verses 6 through 11. Again, just imagine Samuel standing up and saying, hey, Israel, what have I done? Please tell me. I've been your leader for this amount of time. Have I stolen anything? Have I said anything wrong? And they said, no. The Bible says in Psalm 100, verse number 1 through 5, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. We see in this particular psalm that thanks is given to God. We must never forget the goodness of God. We must never forget the fact that God has delivered us from sin. God has allowed us to be here today. God has given us every breath that we've taken, every step that we've taken. It is from him. It is part of his grace and his mercy in our lives. Thank God for it. You know, Thanksgiving's right around the corner. And so many times we think more about being thankful during this time of year when in all reality it should be a daily part of our walk with God. God, thank you for giving me eyes to see. Wow. God, thank you that I can hear. God, thank you that I can taste the food I'm going to have for lunch today. God, thank you for giving me legs to walk and all these things that we take for granted. God, every breath you've given me today, thank you. Samuel saw this importance. And as a leader of the children of Israel, he stands before the Israelites and said, hey, don't forget about what God's done for you. Hey, you've asked for a king that you don't need. Don't forget about what God's done for you in your life. And may I submit to you today, people of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, visitors, members, folks who have been here just for a couple days or maybe several years, don't forget about God's goodness. Don't forget about what God has done in your life. Don't forget about what God has done in the life of this church. Don't forget about, just think about something like Vacation Bible School this last summer. The souls that were saved, the lives that were changed. Don't forget about those things. At times, Satan's going to attack you. He's going to try to discourage you and try to get you down the dumps. Remember what God has done. A good friend of mine keeps a journal of these things, writing down, hey, this person was saved today. Hey, this person accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior today. And at those times of attack, when Satan says, hey, just throw in the towel, just give up, he can point back to that and say, uh-uh, I'm going to keep going. Because the cause of Christ is more important. Samuel made sure he was right with his fellow men. His response from the Israelites was of that same point. He was right with his fellow man, and he reminded the people of God's goodness and blessings. He reminded them that it was not Moses and Aaron who helped them to flee from Israel. It was God sending Moses and Aaron. It was God who led their families out of bondage in Egypt. It was God who led them across the wilderness. It was God who led them through the Red Sea on dry ground. And on and on and on we could go. Israelites, this is not something that you've done. This is not something that I've done, but something that God has done, and we must be grateful for it. Take time more often to reflect on God's goodness in our lives. We must. The more we thank Him, the less likely we are to complain. I'll never forget, I was a student at Crown College. This was my freshman year. And on Monday nights, we had a lot of studying to do. But Brother James Zinker made it a point to have a prayer time on Monday night. Anybody who wanted to come, simply a prayer meeting. The first night we met for this prayer meeting, I was, again, a freshman. There were a lot of upperclassmen there. I'll never forget this. Brother Zinker said, I don't want you to ask for anything right now. Don't ask for this person to be healed of a sickness or anything like that. He said, I want you to thank God. And I want you to see how long you can pray thanking God. And I'll be honest, my first time doing that might have been 15 seconds, and I'm kind of doing this number, looking around. Okay, other people are still praying, okay? But here's the thing. That's something that we ought to be continually increasing in our lives. God, thank you for all the things you've given me. And Samuel, again, was a model example of this as he is relaying this message to the children of Israel. He saw the importance of teaching others the value of reflecting on God's goodness. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Brings us to point number four. Samuel reminds them of their sin and asking for a king. We see this in verse number 12. It's interesting that Samuel didn't address this issue first. He made sure he gave glory to God. He saw the importance of glorifying God in everything, but he definitely did not sweep this issue under the rug. He wanted to wanted the people to know that what a horrible thing they had done in asking for this king against God Almighty. God had provided for them and protected them. It was God who allowed them to live up to this point in their lives. God was their leader, but in their eyes, that wasn't enough. And with this point, I can't help but think of the thought, be careful what you ask for. Sometimes we ask God for things, we beg God for things, and it's something that we really don't need. Did they need an earthly king? Absolutely not, because God was their leader, and Samuel made sure to emphasize that point to them. But God basically said, okay, here you go. And oftentimes this may happen in our lives. We ask for things that we don't need, but in order to teach us a lesson, in order to bring us to the end of ourselves, God might say, okay. And God did exactly that with the children of Israel. Be careful what you ask for. This brings us to point number five, their challenge concerning their new king. We see this in verses 13 through 15. Their challenge concerning their new king. Samuel still reminded the Israelites that even though they had asked for this king, they did not need them. They did not need one. God was the one who placed him in rule over them. They're not the ones who made this happen. God allowed it. He warned them about what would happen if they decided to neglect their service to the Lord. Brings us to point number six, Samuel's answered prayer. We know that Samuel was a faithful servant of God. Samuel was a faithful man of God. And in verses 16 through 18, we see him praying and we see his answer to prayer. This simply to prove that he meant what he had said. Samuel informed the people that he was planning to call out to God for a miracle. He did exactly what he said, and God answered his prayer on the day that he asked it. This was during the time of wheat harvest. Samuel prayed that God would send thunder and rain, but what kind of punishment was thunder and rain? Most would see rain as a sign of blessing, especially when crops are at stake. But any farmer would know that there comes a point in their field's life that rain can be a hindrance. I grew up in farm country. Okay, I'm a farm boy and proud of it. Okay, many of you don't know this. I grew up in a town called Farmersville. You can imagine how big it is. Not exactly a booming metropolis. Okay, our house with barns and a couple other buildings sat on 5.5 acres, surrounded by fields. Those fields would often be planted with soybeans or corn or wheat, typically one of those three crops, and they would rotate them to kind of help neutralize the soil and things like that. On one side of our property lived a great farmer. They did a tremendous job, plowed nice fields, just beautiful harvest would come up and all this kind of thing. On the other side, probably one of the worst farmers I've ever seen in my life. This guy could not plow a straight row. He would never harvest his crop. I'm convinced he was probably just planting stuff for sake of a tax deduction or to claim agricultural status or something like that. Anyways, two completely different spectrums, okay? This one guy who would not even pick his crop, by the end of harvest season, we'd gotten rain and eventually snow, and his crop had been destroyed. Okay. On the flip side, you see a nice, beautiful field of wheat that's ready for harvest, and they would come with their combines. They would reap their harvest. But even though this one on the right side was a great farmer, I do remember times where we would get storms come through. And those fields that were white unto harvest, those fields that were ready for picking, that they had done all the steps that they needed to, they had fertilized, they had done all this kind of stuff, those fields would have storms coming along. And storms in Ohio, where I'm from, obviously we don't have the hills and things like that, so we'd get hit pretty hard. And we would see, even though this gentleman was a great farmer, I remember a couple times getting just a torrential downpour and seeing this beautiful wheat field that had been just completely matted down. Now take that thought, think about that, and think about the children of Israel. The Bible says that they were in the time of wheat harvest, okay? They were at the time where they were trying to reap the benefits from their work all year long, and God said, uh-uh, you've disobeyed me. You have chosen a king that you did not need. Samuel prayed for this storm to come along. This storm came along and potentially ruined their harvest. And I'd venture to say, help them to wake up to reality that was around them. They, with all that said, God answered the prayer of Samuel on the same day that he prayed, and the people greatly feared the Lord. Their crops were probably ruined, but now they realized that God would not allow anyone or anything to receive the glory that only he deserves. Point number 7, the people's plea for forgiveness. We see this in verses 19 through 20. Point number 8, Samuel challenges God's people and warns them of the potential consequences for disobedience to God. We see this in verses 20 through 25. He says in verse 20, serve the Lord with all your heart. Verse 21, turn ye not aside. Verse 22, the Lord will not forsake his people. Verse 23, it is a sin to not pray for God's people. He now encapsulates the entire 11th and 12th chapters in verse number 24 when he says this, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. I'd encourage you sometime to memorize this verse. I'd encourage you to take this to heart. I'd encourage you to meditate upon it. Then in verse 25, he presents one final word of warning. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. They had a decision to make, to serve their king or to serve God. And folks, we have that same decision to make. They were presented with a reminder that if they chose to serve their little k king, they would be consumed. As far as concluding remarks are concerned, are we truly living lives of godliness? As we look at somebody like Samuel, do we have a longing and a desire to live a life just like that? Or is your mind far from God? Do you truly have a desire to do something for God in this community, in your workplace, on your ball team, in your school, whatever the case might be? I hope your answer is yes. Are we asking God for the things that we want or for the things that he truly wants us to have? Like Samuel, have we truly surrendered our lives to God? Have we given him complete control of our lives and control of the destination of our lives? Who is your king? Who's sitting on the throne of your heart? Are we true servants of God? If we were to interview Samuel today, he would probably say he wishes that he had done more, without a doubt. And he would probably say something along the lines of the fact that it was an honor to serve the one true King, God Almighty. And as I was thinking about this chapter, I couldn't help but the Lord brought this thought to my mind. It's an honor to serve. It's an honor to serve God. You know, if we were to interview any soldier in here who has served in our military, I guarantee they face many ups and downs in their time in the military. But I guarantee I don't know of a single one of them that would not say it's been an honor to serve their country. I'm so thankful for the men and women who have fought in order for us to be here today. And they would truly say it's been an honor to serve. But if we were to interview you, would you say, toward the end of your life, it's been an honor to serve my God? It's not been easy. But oh, it's been an honor. It's been an honor to serve on my bus route. Getting up early in the morning, picking up those kids. Oh, it's been my honor. It's been an honor to teach in my Sunday school class with five-year-olds. It's been an honor. Samuel said that. Maybe not those specific words, but his life, his actions spoke louder than those words. It's been an honor to serve. Perhaps you're here today and maybe you're not a Christian. By the way, a Christian is not someone who simply goes to church, someone who's accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. If that's you today, please come. We'd love to show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Maybe you've recently accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've accepted Christ this week. Please come forward. We'd love for you to make that decision public. We'd love for our church family to rejoice with you in that. Are you serving another king or are you serving God Himself? Maybe you need to come forward today, Christian, to get things right between you and God. Again, if this relationship is not right, this can never be right. Maybe you need to come forward and ask God to help you to get things right between you and someone who you might have a problem with. Maybe you'd like to just come and take time to thank God for all that He has done for you. Question, are you willing to do whatever God truly wants you to do? Maybe you'd like to come and surrender your life completely to God. If God were to call you to serve Him at a full-time capacity, would you be willing, no matter what age you are? If God were to lay it on your heart, the idea of going to a Bible college in order to be trained to serve Him in a better way, would you be willing to go? I heard a story of a man this about a week ago, 57 years old, who went to West Coast Baptist College. God laid it on his heart to get more Bible training, and he just recently graduated from West Coast Baptist College. 57 years old. Listen, it's not too late. If God's laying that on your heart, by all means do it. If God were to call you and your family to the mission field, would you be willing to go? Let's think about these things and think about the fact that it's been an honor to serve God. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. What has God spoken to your heart about today? Maybe it's a matter of, Lord, I want to make sure my testimony's right. Again, maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. Please do not leave here today without knowing for sure that heaven's your home by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In just a minute, the pianist is going to begin to play. At that moment, we'd love for you to come forward so someone can show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Maybe you know how to be saved, you just haven't made that decision yet. Please come and get saved today. Again, maybe you've recently accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you'd like to come and simply make that public. We're not going to embarrass you, but simply want our church family to rejoice with you in the decision that you've made to accept Christ. Christian, what has God spoken to your heart about? Let's all stand. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for this message. Lord, it's been an honor to serve You. Father, as I look out across this congregation, I see a number of people who have served You faithfully for many years. And Lord, at the same time, I see many younger folks who are perhaps looking for a position to get plugged in, whatever the case might be. Lord, help us to serve You with our whole heart. Help us to have a holy, reverent fear of You, as Your Word says. Consider the things that You have done for us. We love You so much. In Jesus' name we pray. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if God has spoken to your heart, you'd like to come and get things right with the Lord here at this altar. Maybe you'd like to speak to somebody. You come as Brother Gary begins to sing.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. to Jesus, I surrender all to Him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender. To Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
All right. If you'll go ahead and look this way as the pianist continues to play just a little bit. We've got some folks still being dealt with, but want to share a few exciting things with you this morning. We have first Shane Boyer. Shane's right here with Brother Brad. Shane, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior this week? Made that decision to place his faith and trust in Christ this week. If you're excited for him, say amen. 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 And also we have Mercy Gallion. Mercy, if you'll stand. Mrs. Garber, if you'll stand there with her. Mercy is coming forward saying that she has accepted Jesus as her Savior. Mercy, is this true? Have you made the decision to accept Christ today? Great. We're excited for you. And Leah, if you'll go ahead and stand. Leah Boucher. Leah, are you also making that decision? You're accepting Jesus as your Savior today, is that right? Good, we're excited for you. And Lorelei, if you'll go ahead and stand as well, Brother Garber, if you'll stand there beside them. Lorelei, are you making the decision today to accept Jesus as your Savior? Great, yes, nice and loud there. If you're excited for these young people, say amen. 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 The greatest decision you could ever make in life is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Same here, same thing here with Shane, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for making this public, and our church family is rejoicing with you. If you get an opportunity to come forward and shake these folks' hand, that would be great. All right, visitors, just a reminder, on your way out, please stop by the Welcome Center, and some of our folks will be there to greet you. If you have your visitor's card, drop it off there. Even if you don't have it, stop by there. We've got a special gift just to thank you for being here today. Brother Matt Krause, if you'll lift your voice and pray for us as we go. Thank you.